Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak something from the Srimad Bhagavatam in front of their lordships, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, Sri Gornitai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and all the assembled devotees. Just a brief introduction about myself, more as a memory to myself. I was here in this temple almost 35 years ago as a brahmachari, when I was, I think, 25, 26 years of age. I was His Holiness Ramai Swami's first servant and secretary when he took sannyas. And from Mayapur, he brought me here to Melbourne, where I did some collections, Lakshmi collection for him, so he could travel around the world and preach. So those memories are very sweet. And when I come back to this temple after 35 years, the thoughts in my mind are how the deities and the guru is maintaining their devotees. Even though we are not real devotees, we are pretentious devotees. But even that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deities of the temple, they take our little devotion in all seriousness and they maintain and sustain us and our lives. It is so beautiful that the temple in Melbourne, the deities that are presiding here, their name is Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. In Vrindavan, there is a very famous temple, a very old temple, and it is called Radha Vallabh Mandir, many of you who have been to Vrindavan. And the Brajabasis, they go with great enthusiasm to take darshan of Radha Vallabh Lal. At one time, Radha Vallabh temple was more famous than Banke Bihari temple. It is only in recent times that Banke Bihari Mandir has become the number one temple of Braj of Vrindavan. But there was a time when Radha Vallabh Lal temple was extremely popular. And even till today, the Brajavasis, they have a saying, Radha Vallabh Darshan Durlabh. Radha Vallabh Darshan Durlabh. And actually, Radha Vallabh Darshan is Durlabh, because many times when I go, most often the curtains are closed. So every time you get any darshan, you consider yourself very fortunate. So Radha Vallabh Darshan Durlabh. There is a short story about how they manifested their presence and the mercy they are giving in Vrindavan. A great acharya, around the same time as Mahaprabhu, called Mahaprabhu Hit Harivans. He was a great devotee, and as a young man, he had a very beautiful and subservient wife and a child, but he took permission from his wife and said he wanted to go into the forest and perform tapasya and bhajan. So even though she was young and she had a young child, she gave permission and he left. While he was walking through the forests of Braj, he came across one village where Hit Harivansh ji, he stayed for the night in one old Brahmin's house. And while he was there, he noticed that the elderly Brahmin, he had the most beautiful deity of Krishna he had ever seen. So upon inquiring, the Brahmana said that, yes, I have been serving these deities in my generations and their name is Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. But now I would like to give this seva to someone. Hit Harivansh ji was extremely attracted to the deity and he begged the Brahmana that, please, you give me the deity and I will serve them very nicely. So Brahmana said, yes, I can give you, but I have one condition. I have two young daughters and I have become very old. If you agree to marry my daughters, you can have the deity for seva. you can understand the dilemma that he had just given up his wife and child to go to the forest to do bhajan. And here being so attracted by Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, and the condition was quite contradictory. How is it possible that the next day, now the proposal is to get married again? But he took that as Krishna's indication. And he married the two girls. And both the girls, his wives and Hitharivansaji, they very nicely served the deity. So, this shloka we are going to be doing today, I was reading this morning. And I was thinking that this story of Mahaprabhu Hitharivansh is so appropriate. Because in this shloka, it is being described, Kardama Muni, he is appreciating the seva, the service, and most of all, the extent of sacrifice of his wife Devahuti, who is the daughter of a king. And he's appreciating very much that such extreme sacrifice she has performed in order to facilitate the seva of her husband and in order to serve her husband and please him. So in this manner, this is how Radha Vallabhji, they manifested in Vrindavan, and they became the top temple. The greatest, the nicest seva in Vrindavan was being performed for Radha Vallabha. And that was the sacrifice that Hitharivansaji made in order to procure the worship, the seva of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. So we will read the translation and purport of Srila Prabhupada. This text 6, canto 3, chapter 23, text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text Number 6. This shloka is to be recited in the meter of Brahma Samhita, and that way we will get it correctly.
Kardamma
uvacha.
Tushto hamadya tava manavi mandayayaha. Tushto hamadya tava manavi manadayaha. Sushrusaya paramaya paraya cha bhaktya. So dehinam ayam ativa shuritsa deho. Navekshita samuchita shapitum madarthe. Navekshita samuchita shapitum madarthe.
Yeah.
ladies? Want to try, Rukmini? Tushto aham aditava manava Kardamba Vacha, the great sage Kardamba said, Tushta, pleased, Aham, I am, Adya, today, Tava, with you, Manavi, O daughter of Manu, Manadaya, who are respectful, Sushrushaya, by the service, Paramaya, most excellent, Paraya, highest, cha, and Bhaktya, by the devotion, ya, that which, Dehinam, to the embodied, Ayam, this, Ativa, extremely, Suhirt, dear, sah, that, deha, body, na, not, avekshita, taken care of, samuchita, properly, shapitum, to expand, sorry, to expend, mat arthe, on my account. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Kardamba Muni said, O respectful daughter of Swayambhu Manu, today I am very much pleased with you for your great devotion and most excellent loving service. Since the body is so dear to embodied beings, I am astonished that you have neglected your own body to use it on my behalf. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is indicated that one's body is very dear, yet Dehuvuti was so faithful to her husband that not only did she serve him with great devotion, service and respect, but she did not even care for her own health. That is called selfless service. It appears that Devahuti had no sense. Devahuti had no sense pleasure, even with her husband. Otherwise, she would not have deteriorated in health. Acting to facilitate Kardamba Muni's engagement in spiritual elevation, she continuously assisted him, not caring for bodily comfort. It is the duty of a faithful and chaste wife to help her husband in every respect, especially when the husband is engaged in Krishna consciousness. In this case, the husband also amply rewarded the wife. This is not to be expected by a woman who is the wife of an ordinary person. Mukham karoti vachalam pangulam gayate girim tatkripat mahambandhe shri gurundinatharinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram. Srimad Bhagavatam, it is always teaching us so many lessons through the lives and prayers of great devotees that have been mentioned in this wonderful Grantha. Here, in the relationship of Kardamba Muni, who is a great austere and a renounced sadhu, a devotee, and his wife being the daughter of Manu, someone who has been brought up in great pomp and care, yet at the same time, when she realizes what an elevated personality Kardama Muni Maharaj is, she serves her husband, understanding that her service to her husband will eventually give her all the credits that her husband will attain from his austerities, his tapasya, and from his bhakti and devotion to the Supreme Lord. In the Shastra, it is mentioned that because the wife takes the subservient position and the position of an assistant in the spiritual advancement of the husband, then she becomes bhagyadari. She becomes the owner of 50% of all the sukriti and punya that the husband performs. And our Puranas and Shastras, they are full of instances where a chaste woman has served her husband to the extent where she has been called Sati, and she has actually gained tremendous amount of powers and potency simply by the service of her husband. To this extent, there is a story. There was a great acharya and a devotee who was always immersed in writing wonderful kathas of Krishna. He was a great poet and a writer, and he was very much immersed in his devotion to Krishna. However, at a young age, his mother insisted and got him married to a young wife. The entire time, the wife was assisting this personality in whatever bhakti he was doing, in whatever writings he was doing. And this person, this great acharya, he was so immersed in his work that he even forgot that he had gotten married. Many, many years passed, and they both became old. And one day, in his little kutia, in his little hut, while he was writing his final writings, a great book he was composing, he saw a woman come inside, and she was lighting some lamps and doing some work. And that is when he realized that, who is this lady in the middle of the night in my room? So he asked the lady, he said, who are you? And why are you here at such an untimely time in the middle of the night? And that time she revealed herself. She said, my dear Lord, I am your wife. And he said, you are my wife? Since how long? He said, oh, I have been married to you over 50 years. And I have been doing seva, but you have been so much engaged in your devotional service and your writings, I never wanted to disturb you or claim my right as your wife. And that is when he realized that what a mistake he had made, not even recognizing. He was so immersed in his bhakti, he did not even recognize or remember that he had a wife. So the last book that he wrote, which was his masterpiece, he actually named that book after his wife. And it was called Bhamamati. That book was called Bhamamati. So he gave recognition to all the work that he had done in his life, all the devotion that he had performed to his wife, who was a mere sevika. She was just doing menial seva, assisting him, but she got the credit. The book was named after her. She got the credit for this great Mahapandit's, all the work that he had done. So this is the significance of seva. So many times we hear that a devotee who performs menial seva in the temple to the deity, to the guru, he eventually becomes extremely recognized. This is also the time, I think, when Shnan Yatra is going on right now, before Rath Yatra. And there is a story of Shnan Yatra. There was a great devotee, Madhav Das. He was the Raj Purohit of the king of Odisha, even though he came from Madhya Pradesh. And he was a great Vaishnava devotee of Lord Jagannath. So in his old age, he got this disease called Sangraheni. Sangraheni is a disease where when you eat, it does not digest. And immediately you have to go to the toilet many, many times. So because his disease was so severe that he decided to go and live by the beach. So he could just clean himself, clean his clothes and do his bhajan on the beach in Jagannath Puri. And at that time, one young boy, blackish in color, very beautiful looking, would come to him. And when his clothes had become dirty from stool, he would take it to the ocean and wash it and clean it and dry it and bring it back to him. And like this for 1 week, it went on. And Madhav Das, one day, when the boy was taking the dirty clothes, he caught his hand. And he said, "I recognize who you are. You are Jagannath yourself." So obviously he was Jagannath, and Jagannath Prabhu didn't say anything. He said, "Why you are doing this? This is very, very menial, dirty work. And you are the Lord of the universe, my worshipable Lord. Why are you doing this?" He said, "Because I like to serve my devotees. I take pleasure in serving my devotees. Therefore, I have come." He said, "But you are the Lord. If you want, you can take my disease away. You could have easily done that rather than do this and put me to shame." And Jagannath said, "Yes. But what you have is Sanchit Prarabdha. Your Prarabdha for suffering is just a little bit more left in your lifetime. Better you suffer it out in this life so that you can come back home, back to Godhead, to my abode after this life. If I help you, your Sanchit Prarabdha," Sanchit means that which is still accumulated, "that Prarabdha will force you to take another birth in this material world. And therefore, I would rather serve you and have you go through your prarabdhas and come back to me." So this is the fine sentiments of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we all worship as Vaishnavas, how he reciprocates with his devotees. And of course, after some time, Madhav Das, he left his body. But in memory of the request that Madhav Das had made to Lord Jagannath, that "Why don't you just cure my disease?" In that memory, Lord Jagannath decided to do this leela, and for 15 days he falls sick. He tells his pujaris that he should be medicated so that he can remember his devotee Madhav Das in those 15 days. That how Madhav Das was a devotee of mine, performing devotional service to me, remembering me, chanting my names, even in a condition of such Sangraheni Rog, which is a very bad disease. So this is how Madhav Das's story is being repeated by the Lord every year as Snan Yatra Mahotsav in Jagannath Puri. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying in his translation and purport, "O respectful daughter of Swayambhu Manu, today I am very pleased with you and your great devotion and most excellent loving service. Since the body is so dear to embodied beings, I am astonished that you have neglected your own body to use it on my behalf." This is how Srila Prabhupada also taught us by precept, by his own example. Srila Prabhupada was 70 years of age. He came to a foreign land, to America. He did not care for his own body. In journeying to America, he suffered two very severe heart attacks. So many difficulties Srila Prabhupada faced, but never he gave up the mission and the instructions of his predecessor acharyas, his Guru Maharaj, and never cared for his body. He went on and on pushing this movement of Krishna consciousness. So we who come in the line of Srila Prabhupada, this is a very important instruction for us, that if we do need to, if we want to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there must be extreme sacrifice. There must be extreme sacrifice in all our lives. Krishna consciousness is not something for, Srila Prabhupada used to say many times, this is not an orange club. We are not members of a club. We are here to perform austerities. We are here on a mission and we must perform sacrifice. Only then our seva and service will be recognized, will be worthwhile in the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sacrifice in the lives of women, it is a very evident fact in the culture of Sanatana Dharma. In the Puranas, there is a story of an extreme example of sacrifice that a chaste woman made for her husband. There is a story where there was a very young, beautiful woman, but somehow or the other, she was married to a leper, Kodi. He was a leper. And this leper, even though his body was all deteriorated, he became very attached to the most beautiful prostitute in that town that he lived in. And somehow or the other, he wanted union with that prostitute. Now, how is it possible? Firstly, the prostitute was very expensive. She was the most beautiful and wanted. Number two, he was a leper and very poor. But he insisted and he told his wife, he said, I want you to satisfy this desire of mine somehow or the other. And this woman, she goes to the prostitute's house, does not introduce herself, but rather takes on to become her menial servant, does not take any remuneration for the seva that she does. And every time the rich prostitute asks her that, please, you should take something, you are serving me so nicely, she would refuse and say, no, I don't need anything. 2-3 years passed like this, and finally the city prostitute, she said, no, you must. I'll give you anything. I am so pleased with your service, you must ask me for something. So at that time, this lady, she said, you promise me you will give me what I want? And she said, yes, anything. I am very pleased by your seva. She said, my husband would like to have union with you. If you can please oblige, this is the only thing I want. So this prostitute, she was surprised that this woman is so chaste to her husband that she would even go through this austerity of serving me for such a long time just so that she can get this boon from me. And the prostitute said, sure enough, you can bring him. She did not know the condition of this man, that he was a leper. So the next day, the state of his body was so bad that he could not even walk. So this lady, she puts her husband in a basket and she carries him on the head. And she is walking at night to take him to the prostitute. And at that time, in that kingdom, was a great rishi, Mandapa Rishi. And Mandapa Rishi in his previous life had pricked a small insect with a blade of grass when he was 5 years of age. And for that, he was sent to hell. And when he was being given judgment, he asked, he said, I am very pious sage, very pious person. How is it that I have been brought to hell and I'm being given punishment? And Yamaraj said, this is what you did. At the age of 5, you pierced the body of an insect with a blade of grass. And therefore, you have to take this punishment. In Hindi, they call it suli pe charna. In English, I don't know how it is. It is a pointed thing and they put you on top of it. There is a word for it. So it's a very painful punishment that is given. And Jamaraj said, in your next life, you will be put on suli. Is it stake? It's called a stake. Yes, correct, Prabhu. Thank you. Yes. So Mandapa Rishi, he was given this punishment. And at that time, Mandapa Rishi also cursed Jamaraj. He said, a 5-year-old boy is very innocent and should not be given the sufferings or the reactions to his activity. And therefore, I curse you because you do not know how to do judgment. I curse you to become a Shudra. And that is how Vidura, he was by the curse of Mandapa Rishi, Jamaraj became Vidura, Mahatma Vidura. So Mandapa Rishi was on the stake, on the shuli, and of course because of his yogic powers, he was able to control the pain to quite an extent. But when this lady was walking in the middle of the night with the husband in the basket, the husband's foot touched the stake and it moved. And as it moved, obviously there was tremendous amount of pain to Mandapa Rishi. And in that pain, Mandapa Rishi became upset and angry, and he cursed. He said, whoever has caused me this pain, he will not see sunrise tomorrow. So the husband was a leper. He was so lusty, he was going to the prostitute, and now he starts to cry. And he says, what is the use of you? He's telling his wife. What is the use of you and your seva and your being a sati? So chaste to me that tomorrow morning I will not see daylight. I don't want to go to the prostitute anymore. What is the use? My life is finished. He was lamenting like this. But because of this lady's chastity to her husband, even though his intentions were not correct, she said, if that is so, then whatever chastity and whatever power I have, I command the sun not to rise tomorrow morning. There will be no sunrise. And therefore, my husband, you will live. And sure enough, there was no sunrise. And the demigods came and they said, Devi, you cannot do this. The entire system will fall apart. Everyone will die. And she would not listen. And then Mother Anasuya was sent. Mother Anasuya was another great chaste woman. And she was sent to this lady. And she introduced herself and said, look, I have the powers to bring your husband back to life. Let the sun rise and surely he will die. But by my chastity, by my being such a sati, I will be able to bring him back to life. And that is how the sun rose and he died. And Mother Anasuya brought this person back to life. And not only that, but his body was all healed. And he also later on became a great devotee of Krishna. So what we are trying to say here is when there is tremendous chastity in the service to the superior and tremendous amount of sacrifice, even the mood of sacrifice that we are willing to go through any length in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, serve the mission, serve our Gurudev, then that gives a devotee tremendous amounts of power. He gets the recognition of the Supreme Lord. He gets the recognition of the acharyas who give sometimes tremendous instructions that normally cannot be fulfilled. There is a story in the life of Srila Prabhupada that in the month of January in Vrindavan there was a sadhu who heard an elderly person crying very loudly. And the sadhu was living right next to Radha Damodar temple. So he heard first night and he said, who is this person crying so much? Second night again the same person around that same time was crying. He heard the voice. So he came down and he walked into Radha Damodar temple. He walked behind and he saw there was an elderly person and he had a broom in his hand. And he was brooming outside Rupa Goswami's Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir. And he was crying in Bengali. Kripa koro, kripa koro. Ami amar gurudeve karjota ki kore korbo. How is it that I will fulfill the mission of my Guru Maharaj? He has given me this mission to go to the West and convert the Westerners into Vaishnavas. An impossible task. How will I do it? So my dear Rupa Goswami, kripa koro, you should please do some kripa. And that personality was Srila Prabhupada. So like this, with Prabhupada, was not only doing seva, preparing himself to come to the West, but at the same time, he was begging his predecessor acharyas to give him the strength, to give him mercy, by which he could fulfill the task that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj had given to Srila Prabhupada. One time in Delhi, Srila Prabhupada, he was walking in Old Delhi and he met with one of his godbrothers. And the godbrother later on he described, he said Srila Prabhupada had clothes that were torn and he had knots put on the holes of the clothes so that the holes would not show. And Srila Prabhupada was looking very weak and he was carrying a lot of paper on his head going to the printing press. And the godbrother started to talk to Srila Prabhupada. And then he asked Srila Prabhupada one question. He said, it has been foretold that this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it will reach the Western countries. And people of the West, they will be chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And Mahaprabhu himself has mentioned, Prithvite Ate Jato Nagar Adi Gram, Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Muronam. So is this Atishay Yukti? Is this just something metaphorical? Something that is exaggerated, poetical? Or is it really going to happen? So this was the question that was put to Srila Prabhupada as an elder godbrother. And Srila Prabhupada replied, he said, yes, it will definitely happen. But you don't worry, it will not be you doing this job. So you go have a good time. So Srila Prabhupada was so convinced about the scriptures, about the predictions of the acharyas. And he knew that a person of great sacrifice and a person of great commitment would be the one who would become the recipient of fulfilling the desire of Mahaprabhu and the predecessor acharyas. So here also, Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he's mentioning, acting to facilitate Kardama Muni's engagement in spiritual elevation, she continually assisted him, not caring for bodily comfort. It is the duty of a faithful and chaste wife to help her husband in every respect, especially when the husband is engaged in Krishna consciousness. And then Srila Prabhupada has put one line at the bottom, and I was contemplating, what does this line mean? Srila Prabhupada has very nicely put it right here. In this case, the husband so amply rewarded the wife, he could reward. But now is this line, this is not to be expected by a woman who is the wife of an ordinary person. That means, if a woman, here's the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, if a woman is totally devoted and assisting an ordinary man in ordinary activities, she will not get the same result. Therefore, sacrifice must be related to Krishna consciousness. If the husband is a devotee and serving Krishna, serving the mission of the Lord, then if the wife becomes the assistant, she gets all the benefit. There is a drishtanta story like this. One time there was a prostitute in a village who also thought that I am very rich, but I would like to also serve my ancestors. So you know, during the Shraddha ceremony, the Grihasthas and others, they invite Brahmins and they feed Brahmins for 16 days in order to do Shraddha for their ancestors. So she wanted to do, and she sent out invitations in the village for the Brahmins to come and eat in her house. Even though the Brahmins knew that they would get very good dakshina, they did not want to go to the prostitute's house, only because that money was earned in a very illegal manner. So nobody went, none of the Brahmins went. And there was a beharupiya, a bhand. Bhand in English is someone who dresses in different ways. In villages they can sometimes they dress as Hanuman, sometimes they dress as Ravana, And they go around in the village and people throw money at them because they entertain by dressing in different ways and acting different roles. So they are called Bhand. So there was this Bhand, and he thought none of the Brahmins are going. Maybe I'll take this opportunity. He dressed himself as a sadhu. He put very nice beard, mustache, saffron cloth, and he went. She did not know. So she welcomed him and she fed him very nicely. She asked him, what would you like to eat, Mahatma? And he said, kheer and puri is very nice. You make nice puri and you make nice sweet rice, sweet. That I like. So every day she was cooking very nicely and feeding him, thinking I'm doing my shraddha. Brahman has come to my house. And every day after feeding this personality, she would give one gold coin. So 16 days passed and now it is time for him to go away. So she said, Mahatmaji, you are leaving. Please give some instruction, something, before you go. And I will give you more dakshina. So this Mahatma, this Bhand, he said, you want instruction? I am a Bhand. He was thinking, he said, well, I should give her something before I go. So the Mahatma, this Bhand, he said, a very nice little doha. Sola din bhojan kiye, 16 days I ate in your house. Many of you understand Hindi. Sola din bhojan kiye, khaye kheer aur khand. Khand means sugar. Sugar and kheer and puri. Sola din bhojan kiye, khaye kheer aur khand. Po ko dhan po me gayo, tu randi me rand. Tu randi mai bhand, po ko dhan. Po means that your wealth is earned in a bad way, and therefore it only can be spent to a bad person. It can never go to the house of a brahmana. Therefore, tu vaishya mai bhand. Main sadhu nahi hu. I am not a sadhu. I am just a pretender. And therefore, please, unless and until you earn good money, it will never be spent on good causes. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here. This is not to be expected by a woman who is the wife of an ordinary person. So we have to always put Krishna in everything. Srila Prabhupada also said, material life is like many, many zeros. Unless and until you put Krishna, it has no value at all. It has no value at all. One great saintly poet has also said like that. Sansar se pritari sarena eko kam. If you have love and affection with this material world, nothing will be accomplished. Sansar se pritari sarena eko kam. And then second line he says, Dubidha me dono gaye, na maya mili na ram. That a person in this material world, he will not achieve anything. Dubidha mein, dono dubidha mein chale gaye. Na manushya ko maya milegi, na ram milenge. So sansar se pritari sare na eko kaam, dubidha mein dono gaye, na maya mili na ram. So we are all very fortunate. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, a pure representative of the Supreme Lord, in this Kali Yuga, to us wretched jivas, he has given us Maya and Ram both. Look at this Maya. How amazing, how comfortable, how wonderful these facilities that are being provided to us by Srila Prabhupada. And he's also giving us devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Association of the Devotees. So it is our duty to always remain ever grateful and deepen our gratitude for Srila Prabhupada and his mission. And that is the only way we can even pay back a small portion of the debt we owe to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions? Yes, Prabhuji.
Pleasure, even with her husband, otherwise she would not
that if a woman, it is a medical fact also, Srila Prabhupada put so much information on there, I didn't want to elaborate on it, but since you've asked, if a woman does not get sensual pleasure from the husband, her body actually becomes diseased and deteriorates. So it is the duty of the husband to give that sensual pleasure and comfort to the wife, to the woman. A woman's body very much needs it, and that is why that facility is provided, that she gets married to the husband. And because he was such an ascetic, he was so austere, and he wasn't giving her that, she already was becoming diseased, and yet she was also performing the austerity of keeping up with the devotional life and the austerities of her husband. So from both angles, she was suffering. Prabhuji. I will answer that question. The Sanchit Prarabdhas are always there. Just like if there is an ocean of water and you go to the water and you take away millions and millions and billions of gallons, does it going to matter anything to the ocean? Nothing. You have extracted 1 billion gallons from the ocean and yet it does not affect the ocean. So a jiva, his situation is like this in this material world. He has such a mountain of prarabdhas that even by pulling the rope or taking darshan or every day offering obeisances, millions of our prarabdhas are being taken away, yet prarabdhas are there. Yet prarabdhas are there. There is a story in Mahabharata where after Karna, when he left his body, he was leaving his body, he asked Krishna for a boon. He said, "My dear Lord, I want a boon from you." Krishna said, "Yes, Karna, for you I will do. What boon do you want?" He said, "You take me to that place on earth where I have never been cremated, and you cremate me there." He said, "No, no, no problem." So Krishna was taking him everywhere. Everywhere he took to cremate Karna, Dharti Prithvi said, "Karna satatam hata." 1,000 times he has been cremated here. What are you doing? So again and again. And Krishna says, "What's going on? Jiva has taken so many births in this material world. Karna satatam hata, Karna satatam hata." And then finally Krishna went to Karna Prayag. And there also Mother Bhumi said, "Karna satatam hata." So in Karna Prayag, Krishna cremated him on his palm, on his hand. That is why it's called Karna Prayag. On his palm he said, these jivas have been cremated everywhere. I cannot fulfill his desire, so I will cremate him on my palm. And similarly, there is a story in the Mahabharata where Arjuna was walking and there was a stream of ants. So you step over the ants and Krishna pulled him back. He said, "Don't do that. Well, just some ants walking." He said, No. "All these ants have been many times Indra, your father. They have taken body as Indra. How can you cross over Indra, your father? You will get very big dosh. Don't. So in order to show, do you know how many births, how pious you have to be to become Indra? And Krishna said, "These ants have been Indra so many times." So please, this is the situation we are all in. Let us all perform devotional service. Let us keep increasing and never become complacent that I have done this much and this much and this much and all my prarabdhas are taken away. They are taken away to a great extent to say that all are taken, but they are still there. I will tell you a small story of my own life. I was in Sydney many years ago doing a Sunday feast class. And in that Sunday feast class, we were talking about karma. And we were talking about, in karma, of course, meat eating and all these things, they come. There was one young girl with two little children, not young girl, a lady with two children sitting in one corner, an Australian lady, not a devotee. And she was listening to the whole class. After class, she came to me and she said, "I have a question for you." I said, "Yes." She said, "You see, I have just recently been divorced from my husband. And jobs are very difficult to come. And I have these two little kids to maintain. With great difficulty, I have found one job that I am doing, but it is in a butcher shop. So now I am liking this philosophy. I'm coming here and I'm hearing what you're saying is making sense. You tell me what to do. Should I give up my job? I will not be able to feed my children." Now I was in a fix. I did not know what to say. Whether I should say continue with your job and support your family, or to say no, take the risk and don't do it. So I said, "Listen, you do what you're doing because every day you have to provide for your children and your rent. But you pray to the Supreme Lord and intensify your coming and offering obeisances to Prabhupada and the deities. That you do. And let them take care of your situation." Next year I came back to Sydney again. And again the Sunday lecture was there and I was giving class. And that same lady was sitting there with two children. But now in 1 year she has tilak. She is wearing sari. She has made advancement with the association of other devotees. Bright faced. After class she comes to me and she says, "You remember me?" She said, "The butcher shop lady." "Oh, how could I forget?" I said, "Yes, butcher shop. How are you doing?" She smiled. She said, "I'm doing well." I said, "How is your job?" First thing I asked. And then she gave me a big grin. By now, she knew the entire philosophy of karma. And she told me, she said, "Now I have been praying and coming to the temple. I have a job in a cloth shop." I said, "Wow." And then she smiled and she said, "But my boss's name is Mr. Butcher." You see? How Krishna kept the prarabdha. He kept the karma, but he made it a name only. There you go. So Krishna, this is Krishna's manifestation. It is Krishna's creation. The laws of karma are also made by the Lord. We all must abide by it, but he is the one who orchestrates us through it all. He orchestrates our life. That is the way the Lord works. That is the way of reciprocation between devotee and the Supreme Lord. He does not cancel out his own rulings, but rather he takes us through it. Yes, Prabhuji.
So, just curious, the whole lecture, how you mentioned about different chastity of women, and also the disciples, Prabhupada spoke about chastity towards the spiritual master. Where does that sense of duty come from? Like, to such an extent where one is,
everything comes from gratitude, from consciousness. A disciple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, had so many disciples. And they were such stalwart disciples, sannyasis, big in charges in temples. And in one assembly he asked, he said, "I want someone to go to the West, to America." And everybody even refused or looked here and there. "The Guru Maharaj should not look at me." And then Guru Maharaj was disappointed. And he saw Abhay Babu, a grihastha, a young man standing. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaji proclaimed. He said, don't worry, I have my man. I have my person. He recognized in the eyes of the disciple that that personality was willing to surrender to any extent. It's a very internal thing. Internally we have to become strong and committed that yes, I will go through any extent in order to serve my mission of my guru, my acharyas, of Srila Prabhupada. And that gratitude, that consciousness will grow and strengthen your devotion. And then the sense of duty will also come. Sense of duty is a manifestation of the consciousness. If the consciousness becomes so deep in gratitude, Srila Prabhupada was such a failure in the beginning when he went to America. So many times he came to the harbor of Boston Harbor, to look at the ships going back. But at the harbor he decided no, and he returned back. He returned back. So Krishna left no stones unturned in giving so much harassment to Srila Prabhupada. So much test was there. But Srila Prabhupada, with patience and perseverance and faith, he went on and on and on. And look today, what success Srila Prabhupada has received. And we are all flowers manifested of that garden that Srila Prabhupada made for all of us. So these are examples of the acharyas. We cannot imitate them, but we can become inspired by them. We must become inspired by them. Srila Prabhupada always said, the mission of ISKCON, it runs on only one thing, and that is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm and commitment to serve the mission. And that is the only ingredient that is required in Srila Prabhupada's mission. Okay, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna.